These three quick tweets to read to open up the show. Denton's here. I am here. They are from Ralph, Greg, and Trevor. Ralph writes, Kevin, is this really happening? I think it is, but I'm guessing this weekend is the wake-up reality moment. From Greg, we've beaten the Browns, Cardinals, Giants, and Bengals. The combined records of those teams is 6-14. Sunday, the luck turns. We're not in the same league with the Ravens. Yeah, we actually are. We're in the NFL. They're in the NFL. And then this from Trevor. And this one really gets me. A win against the Ravens is just icing on the cake. It won't happen, but if it does, great. And if it doesn't, we're still in good shape at 4-2 with an easier schedule ahead. Good morning, everybody. We got a lot on the show today, and you're going to be involved on the show today. We didn't get to all of you who wanted to weigh in yesterday after the easy win over Cleveland. Look, this may come off as a bit harsh or mean-spirited, but that's loser talk. I mean, loser talk. Have you watched this team for 5 weeks? I don't care who the opponents have been. They have annihilated the last two opponents, as they should have. By the way, you know who didn't annihilate the Cardinals on Sunday? Greg, the 49ers. You know, the Bengals, who are 1-4, the opponent that we're playing this weekend, won in overtime by 3 and had to withstand a fumbled botched snap on a field goal in overtime to get a chance to win that game. Look, the Ravens are good. I watched that Bengals game. I watched the condensed version. Our offense right now, they should be afraid of what's walking into M&T Bank Stadium Sunday with Jaden Daniels in this offense, because they got shredded by Cincinnati on Sunday. They were very lucky to win the game. Lucky to win the game. A missed field goal, a botched snap. Cincinnati got very conservative after recovering a Lamar Jackson fumble. Look, defensively, I'm concerned. I think there's still some limitations, and it's going to be the first legit test in a few weeks on Sunday. But Washington can absolutely win this football game. I mean, to just chalk it up as, we've harvested enough nuts for now. We're good with 4. You know, we can lose this game, and then, you know, maybe we'll get the Panthers to get our 5th win the following week. That's not the way the NFL works. Have you been watching this league this year or any year? Big underdogs win all the time. Like, every week it happens. Of course they can win this game Sunday. Baltimore's good. They've got pedigree. It's a great organization. Man, is their quarterback spectacular. Some of the plays he made Sunday against the Bengals when I went back and watched that game. And by the way, they blitzed the you-know-what out of him, and he threw from the pocket on Sunday against Cincinnati about as well as I've seen him throw it from the pocket. Everybody has seen the highlight play where he fumbled a couple of snaps in the game, but the one where he picked it up and then stiff-armed the would-be tackler and threw to Isaiah Likely in the end zone for a touchdown, he's great. Derrick Henry's great. You know, they've got some weapons, too, more so than they've had in the past. I mean, Zay Flowers, Bateman, they got 3 tight ends that basically play and catch balls. But this is not, you know, this is not a give-up situation. If you're going to do that, then you're going to be doing that a couple of more times this year. I mean, they still, you know, have games against the Steelers and the Eagles twice and the Cowboys. Stop it. They can absolutely go beat Baltimore on Sunday. I'm not predicting it, but I'm predicting that they're going to score a good amount of points on Sunday. I think they can attack the crap out of this Baltimore secondary in particular. I think they can run the football a little bit. I think they can throw it for sure. That's just an interesting mindset, one that I am not familiar with at all. It's okay if they lose this week because they've harvested enough early season wins. They're still going to be okay. You know, you don't know anything about the NFL. We've been talking about this for years. You know, the Panthers are tougher than they've been, or at least they were. None of these games are gimmies on any Sunday. The only game, honestly, that was a gimme on their schedule was the one they just played, because they played truly one of the worst offenses I've ever witnessed at the NFL level, with a quarterback that is toast. They should absolutely move on from him. He is he's mentally done. He's checked out. But, man, come on. I mean, I'm certainly not sitting down at 1 o'clock on Sunday thinking, let's just try to keep it close. Now, I did say last week that the place will go nuts if they beat Cleveland and then they beat Baltimore, or they were to lose a shootout, kind of a close game, that people will be super ready to start buying into something much bigger than, say, 9 or 10 wins. But I'm far from conceding that Washington doesn't have a chance Sunday. You know, all these power rankings are coming out. Baltimore and Washington are basically right next to each other, somewhere around 5 and 6, 6 and 7, 4 and 6. 4 and 7. I mean, for whatever that's worth, which isn't much, because nobody really knows that much about the NFL. These games are all their own entity. It's just anything can happen, pretty much, when you put teams out there that are capable, not the team Washington played on Sunday. I think they got a shot to win.
I think it's funny that one of the tweets mentioned the records of the opposition, as if like Baltimore was like they're only 3-2. Like, it's not like they're a 5-0 team. It's not like they're 14-1 or whatever they were last year and they had this amazing defense. They still have a good defense, but this is not last year's Baltimore Ravens team. Like, their defense has a lot of flaws on it that you can very easily take advantage of, which, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury's been taking advantage of every defense that's been put in front of him. I feel like this is just people kind of looking for a safety net. Because we're so, as a fan base, so used to getting our hopes up about things, because it's been, you know, 30 some odd years since this team has really been considered a good team in the NFL at any point in the season. I feel like that's what you're starting to see a little bit more. It's like these insecurities about, I don't know how to respond when we're good, so I'm just going to kind of expect the worst type of deal and just be happy with what we currently have.
There's no doubt that there is a lingering, you know, level of, this isn't real. Reality will come back just as it always does. It's PTSD in terms of being, you know, a fan of this team for a long time.
Can I cut you off for a quick second?
Yeah.
We have breaking NFL news.
Yeah.
The Jets just fired Robert Saleh.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, there was definitely not – something wasn't right and hasn't been right there with Aaron Rodgers and Saleh, right? I mean, look, it's not their defense. It's been their offense. It was on Sunday. It was in recent weeks, maybe not in the opener against the 49ers. But there was something that was not right between the two of them.
That's stunningly early. They basically, that man got home from London and was served his papers. He's like, all right, see ya, thanks.
They don't have their bye week. They play Monday night, right? Don't they play the Bills Monday night?
Yeah, I think they're in action this week.
Well, who's going to be the coach?
Probably, oh God, is it going to be Nathaniel
Hackett?
It can't
be Hackett.
It's going to be Aaron Rodgers' guy. He's doing a full hostile takeover of the Jets.
Who else is on that staff? I'm looking through it right now. Do they have, other than Hackett, who was a failed head coach, do they have any other? It doesn't look like it to me that they have any other head coaches. God, you know who's on that staff? I'm just looking through it right now. Ron Middleton. For those of you old enough to remember when the Redskins were good, Ron Middleton was a tight end for the team during 80s into the 90s. Into the 90s primarily. Early 90s. I think he may have been on the Super Bowl team. I think Ron Middleton may have been on the 91 team. But anyway, wow. All right, there you go. Breaking news. Look, that's That division, by the way, is kind of all of a sudden open. You know, Buffalo won those first three games of the year, and everybody's like, you know, oh, the Bills, they're fine without Diggs. They're the favorites. They're certainly one of the favorites in the AFC. Josh Allen is going to win, you know, the MVP, and now they've lost back-to-back games against Baltimore and on Sunday against the Texans. And by the way, the coach took a battering for that, Sean McDermott did, and now they're 3-2. And it's the league, man. Things change. They've got a game basically in the Meadowlands Monday night for first place in the division. Like the Jets, even though they just looked horrible in their loss to Minnesota, looked horrible against Denver. If they win Monday night against the Bills, they're in first place at 500 in the AFC East. Back to our team. So there are a couple of things, you know, in thinking about just what we've witnessed through the first 5 weeks of the season. And it's hard, and I get it. I know that there is this lingering, you know, this dream's going to end kind of a thing. But there are a couple of things that I think are factual at this point. Number one is they're a good team. They're a very good team. I mean, it's not fluky. You know, the schedule hasn't been overly impressive in terms of the teams that they've beaten. But, you know, 4-1 is the record, and they have destroyed their last two opponents. Their offense has been literally unstoppable, and they did on a Monday night against a good football team, even though their record is 1-4. Cincinnati is a capable football team. They lost to the Chiefs by one at Arrowhead. They lost in overtime in a game they should have won against Baltimore on Sunday, and Washington went in there and beat them 38-33. I think there is nothing flukish about the 4-1. I think they're a very good football team right now. Wrap your arms around that, because I think it's true. It's true primarily because of Jaden Daniels. You know, he is the primary reason that the team is a very good team right now. I say very good. I say more than just good. I think offensively they are so high level right now that it makes them a very good team in today's NFL. Do they have limitations? Are there concerns? Yes. But right now, because of the offense and because they have a dude playing quarterback, they have one of those guys playing quarterback, I think they're a very good team. Jaden Daniels, simply put, is off to one of the greatest quarterback starts to an NFL career ever. No quarterback has ever thrown for over 1,000 yards and rushed for over 250. He's over 1,100 passing yards, 300 rushing yards in their first five starts. Daniels became the third rookie quarterback since the merger in 1970 to lead his team to four wins in its first five games under his, you know, playing, starting. Two other quarterbacks did it in the last 54 years. Joe Ferguson, the Bills quarterback back in the 70s, did it, and Dak Prescott did it in 2016 as a rookie. Time's going to judge, you know, whether or not what we're watching is an aberration or it's the trend, it's the norm. But the things that he has proven capable of doing in just five games is astounding. He can throw it anywhere on the field, from anywhere on the field. He throws it from the pocket when he's got time. He throws it from the pocket when he's under duress. He extends plays to run. He extends plays to throw. He seems to be totally aware as the quarterback of the team of down, distance, clock, game situation. He never, ever seems stressed about anything. He is currently still first in the league in completion percentage at 77.1%. He's third in the league in overall QBR. He's fifth in the league in passer rating. He's second in yards per pass attempt. He's second in the league in quarterback rushing yards behind Lamar. First in the league among quarterbacks rushing for first downs. Some of the other numbers will be out probably today, some of the EPA numbers. Looking forward to seeing some of those. But the bottom line is, I mean, through five games, you know, pretend he's not a rookie. Jaden Daniels is playing at an MVP level. MVP level. We broached this subject 2 weeks ago, and we kind of laughed it off after the Cincinnati game. But right now, and we talked about this yesterday, there are only four players in looking at all of the, you know, MVP offshore and onshore shops in terms of the numbers. There are only four players right now consistently ahead of him: Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and CJ Stroud. He is currently a top five favorite to win the NFL League MVP as a rookie. I know it's just five games. They got 12 more. Understood. I'm just saying what it is right now. And I don't think anybody that's watched these first five would say, yeah, but what? He's done everything at an elite level. Elite level. There aren't more than one or two quarterbacks in the league right now playing at a higher level than he is right now. There's also something that's been happening here. And I talked about this last night with on my podcast. But basically, I think what we're seeing is the identity that Dan Quinn really talked about during the offseason. I think the team's taking on the identity of what he wanted. You know, defensively, yes, there have been step-up performances the last 2 weeks. It's still a concern for me because of the opponents. But we'll see. But one thing is absolutely true about the entire team: offense, defense, special teams. They play with great urgency. They try really hard. I know that sounds goofy when you're talking about a pro team. They play with high motor. They play fast. They play physical. There are limitations, you know, and maybe a few more will be revealed down the road, maybe this Sunday. But Dan Quinn promised a team in the offseason, promised a team that people would look at and understand what they're trying to achieve identity-wise. And he talked about, we want to play fast, we want to be physical, we want to be relentless. That's what you're going to see from our team, you know, in this first year, you know, win or lose. And that's what they're doing. You've got to give Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and their respective staffs a lot of credit for executing so far on what they said early on after they got hired, that they had this aligned vision. You know, Peters saw Quinn as having an aligned vision of the certain player profile that they wanted to go after. They called it certain player traits. You know, Jahan Dotson didn't fit that profile, you know. Out the door he went. There was a ton of flying around the last few weeks, and on Sunday in particular on defense. But, you know, no play for me kind of exemplified more of what Dan Quinn's been talking about. And by the way, you know, essentially backed up with the players he kept on the roster versus those that he dismissed. Then that Austin Ekeler 50-yard run. And I talked about this yesterday briefly, but if you watch that play, Terry McLaurin, Luke McCaffrey, John Bates, and Olamide Zaccheaus are all downfield with Ekeler on a 50-yard run. They were still blocking in the case of Terry specifically, but when Ekeler got stripped of the football at the end of that play, Zaccheaus jumped on it and recovered it. Now, if he hadn't been there, McCaffrey could have been the guy to recover it. If he hadn't been there, Bates could have been the guy to recover it. Brandon Coleman, the rookie from TCU, was hustling his ass down the field. You know, they are competing start to finish with limitations in some spots, but they've taken on very much the identity that the coach and I think the general manager were looking to develop in this first year. And then the player performances, you know, after kind of, you know, they're developing this identity that he promised. They looked for the guys who fit these, you know, profiles, these player traits. Ton of these guys, you know, are playing. And, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, that a lot was made about the free agency class, that, you know, lots of one-year deals, short-term deals for, you know, not a lot of money, kind of players that, you know, could be thought of as potential starters or role players, but really kind of, we'll see what happens with them. They're culture guys. We know these guys. We'll bring them in. We want to establish that, but you know, they fit kind of the personality and the competitive profile that they're looking for, that's super important to Peters and Quinn. And not only did they get the right guys so far, those guys are playing well. I mean, I think it started with, you know, the veterans that they trusted coming in could change the culture but could also play. Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler. And then you added guys like Luvu and Armstrong and Biotish and Allegretti, you know, Chin, Fowler Jr., Igbinoghene, Farrell, who's missed the last few games. You know, these are guys that have played, that understood the coach, understood the general manager to a certain degree by extension of the coach, of what they were looking for. And, you know, then they added guys like McNichols. And how about this dude, number 57, Nick Ballore on special teams? It's hard right now not to be impressed with the ability that Peters and Quinn had collectively with their staffs to size up talent, good players, but also get the right people and get them into the organization to set the tone of who and what they want this place to be. It's been very apparent their signings, regardless of the length of the contract or the size of the contract, that these guys were brought in to set this kind of tone and create this kind of identity. You'd have to inject them with truth serum to find out if they thought they would get these kinds of performances. I'm sure they saw it in Luvu. I'm sure they thought Wagner had something left and Eckler had something left. You know, I'm sure that they felt confident that Biotish would be a good, solid, you know, veteran center to help a young quarterback. You know, count me as impressed through five games. You know, they're a good team. They're, if not a very good team, they've got an elite quarterback or a quarterback playing at an elite level. And they are delivering right now on the Quinn, Adam Peters aligned vision when it comes to identity, on what they want their football team to be. There's a long way to go. Things change. Injuries happen. The number one determining factor in NFL games and seasons, health, you know. And if the health turned, knock on wood that it doesn't, you know, things could change in terms of the results on the field. But I think that they've created something, or the beginning of something, that is sustainable. You know, this organization for 25 years had no culture. It had bad culture. It was anti-culture. And they didn't care that they didn't have culture. And then on top of it, they didn't have good players. I'm impressed, and I am not thinking that Sunday is like a no-chancer. I'm not thinking that at all. I think that when you walk off that team bus and into that stadium on Sunday, and number five is your quarterback, you got a shot, period. Because he is making all of the good things that I just talked about with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, he's making all of those things noticeable, because the identity stuff and the culture stuff would not be noticeable to anything other than a very discerning eye if they weren't 4-1, if they didn't have a great quarterback and great quarterback play. Jaden Daniels makes all of the good things they're doing across the board organizationally much more apparent, much more noticeable than if they weren't getting this kind of quarterback play. Because he's clearly the number one reason for 4-1. But the people that picked him got it right so far. And they seem to have gotten it right from a person, a personal profile standpoint. I'm all in right now on now and the future, but with that dude on this team and with that guy coaching it and with the players that they brought into this locker room, there's something happening here. Even if they do lose Sunday, it's all right. I don't think it's going to be something that we roll our eyes and say, oh, Jesus, they fooled us. I don't think that's coming anytime soon, as long as the quarterback is on the field, healthy and upright. They got a legit shot Sunday. The betting line doesn't tell me anything, by the way, if you're wondering. And the NFL's been pretty easy to predict so far this year with sort of going against. Look, there's going to be more Washington action, no doubt, than Baltimore action, as there was last week. It didn't work out. But it's not going to be crazy. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I say three things. One, this is a legit good football team. There is nothing flukish about it. Number two, Jaden Daniels is playing at an elite level. When you have elite level quarterbacking, you got a shot against anybody. And I don't think that's flukish through five games. And then three, it certainly feels like there's something going on, you know, behind just the great quarterback and the great offensive play. There is an identity developing. They seem to have been very focused on a certain kind of player and personality profile. They want competitive. They want urgent. They want team first. I think they got it in their quarterback, which is probably the most important person to get it right with. But I think they got it in so many other ways. Five games in, what do you say, and what do you think happens on Sunday? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.